Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew in chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to preach today out of a very familiar portion of Scripture. I often preach from this Scripture in missions conferences, but we're always after souls, aren't we? Yes, always sir. After souls.
Yes, sir.
And so let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, now follow it, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I do thank you so much for the privilege and the joy to be with this wonderful church on this Sunday morning. Lord, I pray for each and every individual that's here. Lord, I pray that we'd be stirred, we'd be challenged, we'd be exhorted. Lord, I pray most of all, if there's anyone in our midst that knows not Christ, yes. Lord, I pray that they'd be saved this morning before it's eternally too late. Lord, we commit this service to you. I pray that you'd bless. And we'll give you all the praise for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. We see in this portion of Scripture, several times you see the word harvest. You see the word harvest. You see it in verse 37 and verse 38 twice. We won't take time to turn to it, but in John chapter 4 and verse 35, you see that term used twice. And when we think of harvest, we think of gathering in the crops, gathering in the fruit, gathering in the vegetables, whatever it might be, gathering in the harvest. But that's not what the Lord was talking about here. He wasn't talking about gathering fruit. He wasn't talking about gathering apples or whatever. He was talking about the souls of men. The souls of men. Recently, about October, I left my home in north of Spokane. And I drove down 195 into Spokane and down 195, and I was headed to the North Idaho Correctional Institution in Cottonwood, Idaho, for a one-day service down there at Cottonwood. And I drove down through what is called in that area the Palouse. The Palouse. The Palouse makes up several counties down there, but that is wheat country. That is wheat country. As a matter of fact, this morning I Googled that, and this is that area called the Palouse is 2.24 million acres of land in wheat.
Wow.
And as I drove down through 195, I looked out in those fields, and there was combines going every which way. There were trucks alongside those combines with that spout and putting the grain into there.
Yes.
They had signs up several places along the road said trucks entering the highway. There was a great urgency to bring that grain in.
Right.
There was an urgency to harvest,
yes, sir,
that crop. But Jesus here was not talking about grain. He wasn't talking about apples. He was talking about the souls of men.
Yes.
And let me remind you that Christ is the head of the church.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Christ is the head of the church.
Yes.
The church is subject unto Christ.
Amen.
Now, surely, Christ places an under-shepherd. You have an under-shepherd. But the Bible says when the chief shepherd shall appear, Christ is the head of the church. The church is subject unto Christ. And Christ will build his church numerically and spiritually.
Yes, amen.
And to the church, he's given several things that we're to do. I won't mention three of them, but he has given the church the Great Commission.
Amen.
In Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part. But the command is both, I mean simultaneously. And that's what missions is all about.
Amen.
That's what a missions program is all about. And so this matter of harvest. I want us to look at several things about this harvest. Number one, notice what it says in verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. There's no shortage of the harvest.
Right.
There's no shortage of souls. That word plenteous means abundant or plentiful or great. There's over 8.5 billion people in the world. And it's estimated that at least one half, maybe more, have never heard one time a clear presentation of the gospel.
Wow.
It was Oswald Smith that says, no one has the right to hear the gospel twice while others have not heard it once.
Yes.
God loves the world.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he Amen. Gave his only begotten Son. But God commendeth, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his life, commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
It's already been mentioned this morning, but God loves you.
Amen.
God loves you.
Yes, sir.
And boy, if you're here and you're not 100% sure that you're saved, I've had. Of course, I do a lot in prison ministry. I said, "Well, preacher, can anybody know that they're saved?" 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in Romans in chapter 8 and verse 16 that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God.
Amen, sir. Good.
The harvest truly is plenteous. This morning at right around 3:30 in that beautiful apartment, whatever they call them here, apartment, staying in one of those high-rise apartments. Beautiful view. At 3:30 this morning, the Lord woke me up. And I got up, and the first thing that was on my heart was that list of prisons that was passed out while we were here. And I got up at 3:30 and I began to pray over those prisons. I went to the window and I pulled the blind back up and I looked at those high-rise apartments. And I looked out over all of that and I thought, the harvest truly is plenteous.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Harvest truly is plenteous. People need the Lord.
Yes.
Every Tuesday, but prior to COVID, I was spending 14 to 18 hours a week at Airway Heights Correctional outside of Spokane. I'm there on Tuesdays now at the Maine and at the camp. But pre-COVID, as the men would come in on Sunday night, I'd greet them at the door. I did that for several reasons. I wanted to welcome them, but I wanted to listen to them when they came in because I wanted to know what the temperament was.
Yeah,
a man came in, first-time man. I shook his hand. I said, I'm Brother Donnelly, and he said, I'm Christopher. And I said, I'm glad to have you, Christopher. Is this the first time in our service? He said, it is. I said, well, come on and have a seat. He said, "Preacher, if it's okay, I'm going to take one of those seats. I'm going to put it against that back wall." He said, "Nobody's behind me." I said, "Well, Christopher, if that's what you got to do, you do it." We probably 80 men there, maybe 90 men in that Sunday night service. He sat at that back wall. He came the next Sunday night, preacher, and he sat on the back row. And then he came the next Sunday night, and he sat about halfway down. And the fourth Sunday, he sat in the second row, and when we had testimony, he raised his hand. And when I called on him, he stood up, and he pulled his shirt back on his neck. And there was a 1 and a 3. He rolled his sleeve up, and he showed everybody there that tattoo. You could have heard a pin drop. His hair was kind of down like that. He pulled it back, and he had a tattoo up here. I'm not sure what that said, but you could have heard a pin drop in that chapel. And he said, "I just want you to know that this week I've been coming and I've been hearing to that screaming preacher. I've been listening to him, and I just want you to know I got next to my bunk this week. And I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart."
Amen. Amen. Glory.
And this is what he said. He said, "You pray for me, because you don't get out of what I get out alive."
Yeah.
He said, "No doubt there's a contract out on me right now."
Yes, sir.
And within 2 weeks, they moved him on. The harvest truly is plenteous. But secondly, look at verse 35. "And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Again, verse 37. "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." First of all, the harvest is plenteous. Second of all, the harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. Why were those combines going? Why were they going round the clock? Were those trucks going every which way? Why? Because the harvest was ready and they needed to get the harvest in. The harvest is plenteous, church.
Yes.
And the harvest is ready. There are people, you will rub shoulders this week with people that are searching for truth.
Yes, sir.
They're searching for answers. They're searching for hope. They're just searching for some type
Amen.
Of help.
Amen.
They may not know it's in Jesus, but that's where the hope is.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Where the hope is. On Monday nights, I won't be there this Monday night. That Brother Whitlow was taking him to the airport, and I won't get home in time. But usually on Monday nights, I drive that hour and 15 minutes up to that Bonner County Jail at Sandpoint, Idaho, and I go in there. And we were in one of those, they bring the pods out separately. And I don't remember if it was pod 100 or pod 200, which one it was, but a man came in. But every time those men come in, and if we notice that somebody's new, the first thing we ask them, because a recall or the officers could come in and say the men got to go back, so I'm going to find out if that man's saved. And I asked that man, I said, "If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven?" And he said, "I don't, but I've been thinking about that." He said, I found this piece of paper back in my pod. It was some from a church or something, and it was talking about how you can go to heaven from here or something along those lines. And he said, "I read that, but he said, I don't understand it." And I thought about Philip and that Ethiopian eunuch. Yep. "Understand what thou readest? How can I except some man guide me?"
Amen.
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 And in just a few minutes, I was able to lead that man to the Lord.
Amen.
He was ready.
Yes, sir.
He just didn't know how to get there.
Right.
And you'll be around people this week looking for answers.
Yes.
If somebody will just share that with them.
Yes, sir.
Give them a gospel tract.
Amen.
Tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
You know, I often hear this. I used to hear it as a pastor all the time. Well, I just don't have the gift of communicating with people. That's not one of my spiritual gifts, preacher. Now, wait a minute. That's not a spiritual gift. Read 1 Corinthians. Read Romans 12. It's not a spiritual gift. It's a command for every believer.
Right.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, we've been reconciled to God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we have been given a ministry. If you're saved, you have a ministry.
That's right.
You've been given the ministry to tell others how they can be reconciled to God.
Amen.
Through the person of the
Good.
Lord Jesus
Good.
Christ.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, I wouldn't know how to do that. Well, you can tell someone how you got saved. You were there, weren't you?
Right.
Just tell somebody how to be saved.
Amen.
The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is ready. You know, many times it's not that they've rejected Christ. They just haven't heard about Christ.
You're right. That's good.
Or maybe the only thing that they've heard about Jesus is in a derogatory statement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A derogatory statement.
Mm.
When I was in Bible college, I don't know if you ever went through this, preacher, but when I was in Bible college, I had a bus route that was up in Chicago. It was right around the Chicago White Sox ballpark, the old ballpark, Halstead, up in there. We'd go up there every Saturday and spend countless hours up there inviting boys and girls and ride the bus on Sunday, bring them in. I hit what I call a dry spell. I was able to win people to the Lord every single week somewhere. But I hit a dry spell. I mean, we had to fill out these reports and, you know, and souls saved, you know. And I hit a dry spell. I mean, I just hit a dry spell. And I made an appointment with Dr. Evans. And I went in and I told him. He listened to me and he said, well, wait a minute, Chuck. He said, there are three parts to this.
Yes.
He said, there's your part. Are you going?
Yes.
I said, yes. He said, it's the Holy Spirit's part to convict and draw them.
Amen.
But it's their part to receive it.
Right.
And he said, if you're doing your part, the Holy Spirit's going to convict and draw. Everything's okay.
Amen.
We don't do the saving. The Lord does.
That's right.
We're just an instrument.
Amen.
That he allows
Amen.
Us to be part of that. The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is ready. And according to Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20, the harvest is going to end one day.
That's true.
We're going to be called out of this old sin-cursed world. Opportunities. Do you understand? You are not going to have an opportunity to win somebody in heaven. They're all saved. So we've got to do it now.
Yes.
We
yes.
have got to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
It's urgent. It's urgent. There are people that are ready.
Amen.
I was holding a revival at the women's prison in Purdy, Washington. I don't do that revival anymore. I turned it over to a couple of our ladies that do that. But I was, my wife and I were going into to Purdy, about 950 ladies incarcerated there. We went in and we were having a revival on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon. We went in on Friday. Chapel was packed. There was a lady in a wheelchair sitting right down front. We sang one song, and I got up to preach, and she had a seizure. I mean, she started shaking and all of this. She fell out of her wheelchair. It scared me to death. Another lady, one of the inmate ladies, came up and stuck her finger down her throat. Another one went out the back door screaming for an officer. And next thing I know, it was recall. The medical team was in there. We were done. We were done. We showed up on Saturday. The officer from the front desk said, "Didn't anybody call you?" And I said, "No, sir." He said, "The sprinkler system went off in the chapel. And they're cleaning everything up. You're not going to have a service." I said, "What about tomorrow? Is our service on schedule for tomorrow?" He gave me this number. He said, "You call this about an hour before your service and we'll let you know." I called and they said, "You're good to go." We got in, and the ladies were already in that chapel. I walked in, and there was that lady in the wheelchair. And I went up and getting ready to do the service, and she motioned to me. And I went down, and she said, "If you want me to leave, I'll leave." She said, I don't always have control over those seizures, and I know I ruined your service on Friday night. If you want me to leave, I'll leave." I said, "Ma'am, I want you to stay. Please stay." She was fine. We preached, and when the invitation was given, she unlocked that wheelchair and she came forward, and my wife took her off to the side and dealt with that lady and was able to lead her to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Glory.
When the service was about to conclude, my wife got my attention, and she said, "You need to let her say something." That's a dangerous thing in prison. Let them say something. You don't know what they're going to say.
Right.
But I want to tell you something. I'm the man of my home. I'm the leader of my home. However,
that's good.
However, I said, "Okay, Debbie." Well, I had to ride home with her all the way. You know, I didn't want to get involved in this new thing called the frying pan shuffle. And so, anyway, that lady wheeled her wheelchair around and she looked at into those sea of faces, into her peers. And this is what she said. "Just a few days ago, I got a letter from my mom and dad, and they have disowned me because I'm in prison. They said we no longer have a daughter." She said, "They threw me away." But she said, "Today I met the one who did not throw me away."
Amen.
And that was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Did not throw me away. Lord Jesus Christ. Church, the harvest is plenteous.
Yes, sir.
The harvest is ready. And one day, opportunities are going to be gone.
You're right.
You say, "Preacher, have you always done what's right?" No. I carry this with me. It's on a McDonald's napkin. Before I moved to the Spokane area, we lived in the Tri-Cities, right close to where Coyote Ridge Prison is and Two Rivers at Umatilla. And so I used to drive up three times a week up to Airway Heights. Some of the time I had services, and then I had like a 2 or 3 hour break, and there wasn't really a break room that volunteers could go into, so I would have to clear out of the prison. And there was a McDonald's just a few blocks away, and so I'd go to the McDonald's. And I'd study and I'd do stuff. I went in, and I was so well known. I mean, they knew me because I've been going there for years. They say, "Ah, here comes the preacher! Chicken sandwich, three chocolate chip cookies, not raisin oatmeal, chocolate chip. If you're sanctified, it's chocolate chip. Chocolate chip cookies and a black coffee." I didn't even have to order. They just see me coming. Here comes the preacher again. I went in and I was sitting there waiting for them to say, "Chuck, your order's ready." And a man and his wife came in. She came in through that door and sat at that first little table right there. He began to just walk around inside of McDonald's. He's just walking all over the place, just walking around. And I'm thinking, boy, he's about three fries shy of a Happy Meal. What's this guy doing? What's this guy doing? And he came by me and he said, "Is that the good book? Is that the good book?" I said, "It's not only the good book, but as I'm concerned, it's the only book." Amen. And he took off, and he began to walk around. He's just walking around McDonald's. "Chuck, your order's ready." And I went up to get my order, and there was somebody in front of me, so it took a little bit to get it. And then I got my order, and I went over to where they have the ketchup and the mustard and all that type of stuff. And I went over there to get that. I came back to sit down. This note was on my Bible. He says, "I'm a bad man. I'm a big sinner. Pray for me." And he signed his name. I looked at that. I looked around. He was gone. That lady was gone. I went out in the parking lot. I looked all over. I went out on the street. I looked this way. I looked that way. I looked that way and everything. They were gone. I missed an opportunity over a chicken sandwich. Here was a man that was ready. He needed some help. And I missed that opportunity. How many times do we miss opportunities? How many times does the Holy Spirit impress upon our heart to tell somebody about Christ?
Amen.
The harvest is plenteous. There's no lack of it. It's everywhere. The harvest is ready. It's ripe. It's ready. But one day, the reapers are going to be taken home. We won't have any more opportunities. I just believe the Bible.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
"For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
"For whosoever." You all understand whosoever?
Amen. Right.
"For whosoever right. shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Yes.
I mentioned this, I think, in the training classes. I was holding a revival and I was talking to a man. And I asked him if he was saved. And he said, "No, he wasn't saved. Not going to heaven." And I shared scripture with him. I used the Romans Road, but you can use other verses, but I used the Romans Road. And I took him down through every verse. And I, "You understand? Do you understand? Do you understand? Do you understand?" He said, "I do." I said, "Would you like to receive Christ as your Savior?" He said, "It wouldn't do any good." I said, "What do you mean it wouldn't do any good?" He said, "It wouldn't do any good." I said, "Would you explain that to me?" And this is what he told me. He said, "There was a volunteer." You're a volunteer. But he said, "There was a volunteer here just a while back, and he told me because of the severity of my crime, I could never be saved." That's a lie right out of the pit of hell.
That's right.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
Amen.
Up in the part of the country where I go sometimes to preach revivals up in Cottonwood or Orfino, up in northern Idaho, there's some strange boys up there. I had a bunch of those strange boys in my service. It was very obvious who they were. And I got preaching, and I said, God loves every person. Amen. He died for every individual. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance.
Amen.
And boy, they had their skinheads. They were bald. They had tattoos all over them. And they started to sneer at me. And I said, well, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. I said, what do you think about that, boys? Well, they didn't like it, and I didn't care, because Jesus died for all.
Amen.
Not just their little club, their little group.
Right.
The entire world.
Right.
Yes, sir.
The entire world. The harvest is plenteous.
Amen.
The harvest is ready. One day the harvest is going to be over. One day the harvest is going to be over. I looked out from that balcony this morning over that vast area and all those high-rise apartments or whatever they are. I looked all over there. Yesterday, one of the men from Brother Marshall, took us around a little bit, do a little sightseeing, and we were up on a hillside and looking down over that water, saw those couple of big ships out there, and we could look out over that skyline, and I thought,
yes,
all those people,
yes,
all those people,
yes,
all those people, where are they going to spend eternity?
Right.
Where are they going to spend,
yes, sir,
eternity? I've been hesitating to say this. I don't know whether I should or not. I did not grow up in a Christian home. My parents were not Christians. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I graduated from Bellevue High School in 1965. 1967, I raised my right hand and was sworn into the United States Army. Took my basic training at Fort Lewis. And the basic training, they handed me an envelope. I opened it up and it said, report to Schofield Barracks, Hawaii by this date. Your MOS is a 13 Alpha 10. Now, what's a 13 Alpha 10? It's a cannoneer on a 105 air mobile howitzer. The chopper would pick us up, drop us right out with the infantry, and we'd be ready to fire support for the infantry. I saw a lot of things. In Vietnam. When I came home, I brought a lot of baggage with me. And I say this to help, not to hurt. But I came back, and I didn't know how to deal with stuff. And I went to alcohol. I was a heavy drinker. If I'd have gone on, I'd probably lost my wife and lost my boys. But about that time, there was a man that left Hammond, Indiana, in a yellow school bus, that's all he had, and drove across the country to start a church in Seattle. some people that we knew that had been witnessing to us. They were good people. They were friends, but I wouldn't want any part of what the church stuff. I just enjoyed talking to them in fellowship, but I wasn't saved. My wife wasn't saved. And they helped. We're going to help that pastor start that church in Seattle. And they asked Hank and Jay North, if you know anybody that I can go visit, write it on this 3x5 card. And they wrote down on that 3x5 card, Chuck and Debbie Donnelly, 27106 Northeast Ames Lake Road, Carnation, Washington. He's a drunk, he's got a lot of guns, and he hates preachers. Go visit him. Several times he did a lot of visiting during the night. He'd look at that and say, yeah, maybe next week. That's what he told me. He said, yeah, maybe next week, maybe next week. Why does that card keep coming up? He drove all the way out to Carnation. That's a pretty good hike from Seattle. We had a long driveway that went up past the horse corrals and up past the barn and up to the house. He drove out. He parked his car at the bottom of our driveway, facing the street, and left the engine running, and walked up that driveway and knocked on my door. He said, I'm Don Dinsmore from the Greater Puget Sound Baptist Church. I come out to visit you. I said, come on in. Well, I don't know if he wanted to, but he came in. That was in August of 1976. We started going to that man's church, and I'll tell you why. Because I know he cared about me.
Amen.
I know he cared about me. I didn't understand all he was preaching. Quite frankly, I thought he was a nut for a while. But I knew that he loved me. And we kept going. And we kept going. And we kept going. And on December 12, 1976, at 8:30 p.m. at night, I trusted Christ as my Savior.
Hallelujah.
Because somebody said, there's a harvest.
That's it.
This man is looking for some help. He may not know it's in Jesus, but he's looking for help.
Yes.
And if somebody will just take it to him.
Amen.
Church, the harvest is plenteous. It's ready. And we've got to do it while we've got an opportunity. Because that trump's going to sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Jesus in the air, and forever we will be with the Lord. Let me ask you, are you sharing the gospel with people on a regular basis? Are you grabbing a handful of church tracts as you leave today? When you go out to eat or wherever you go, give them one. When you're mailing letters to pay bills or whatever it might be, put that tract in there. But do what you can to get the gospel out before it's eternally too late.
Amen.
And let me just say this. If you are here this morning,
yes,
and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't say, I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know I've put my faith and trust in Christ. Then I beg, I plead with you. See, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow,
right,
for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
Right.
You say, well, I'll be back tonight. You got no guarantee of that.
Right.
That's right.
You got no guarantee of that.
Right.
If you're not saved, take care of that today.
Yes.
Don't put it off.
Yes.
That trump could sound at any moment. You could slip out to eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of it now.
Amen.
Put your faith and trust in Christ.
Right.
Let's have every head bowed. I'm going